So, question as we dive into the teaching from God's Word this morning. And the question is this, and I have to ask myself this question all the time. And so I'll ask it to you this morning so you can reflect on it before we dig into God's Word. And here's the question: is your life in tune with God? Is your life in tune with God? You know, I've enjoyed playing guitar for a long time. There are a lot of far better guitar players than me around, but probably not too many that have more fun playing guitar than I do. I especially like playing this guitar. This guitar was a gift from my wife for my birthday, my first birthday after we were married, right? So, that's funny, this just popped into my head. I was drooling over her for a while, and I was drooling over this guitar. Got her, then she got me the guitar. It's like, yes, Lord, you're good. That wasn't in my sermon notes. It just popped into my head, so you're welcome for that. But, you know, it's kind of funny. You get this guitar, and I've had this guitar for a while. I kind of wanted a vintage guitar because it's kind of cool to have a guitar that's, like, old and been around for a while, been around the block, played some songs. And so I wanted, like, a vintage guitar, but they cost a lot of money. So, you know, we didn't have vintage guitar money, so we just got, like, a new, like, more affordable guitar. But then I just got old, and so now it's vintage. So if you're a young guitar player wanting that vintage guitar, just buy the one you can afford and get old or vintage. And then you and your guitar will both be vintage and hopefully worth more. I don't know, whatever. Here's the deal. Some guys like get a guitar and they name it after a girl or whatever, like B.B. King, famous guitar player, had Lucille was his guitar and all that stuff. I thought that was really weird, especially since my wife bought me the guitar. So the guitar's not named after her, but it does have her name on the back. I found that sticker at a surf shop in Huntington Beach, California. It's a sunglass company, Jen. But I was like, oh, perfect. So I put that on there. Think about my wife. And I play the guitar. And I played it for a long time. Are you curious what it sounds like? You want me to hear? Okay, cool. Awesome. Trav, we got some signal on here. Something up with that. Is that the soundboard? Is that... Let me try a different chord. Okay. Well, this is embarrassing. Normally I play a little better than that, but something's clearly wrong with this guitar, right? Something is up, and what is up, if you know anything about music, is that this instrument is really out of tune. So, thankfully, I've got a tuner here. I think you'll be able to see what's going on at my feet here. You'll see kind of like some lights flashing as I play the strings. The deal is that if you've got a guitar that's out of tune, it doesn't matter how well you play it. It's going to sound really bad. Okay, so that first string was okay. This one is a little... Okay, here we go. That one's spot on. That one's way, way off. That's like... I promise I won't snap it. Ah, better. Oh, spot on. Okay, so here's the deal. Some of those strings were like spot on and in tune, but some of them weren't. So when you go to play a chord together, it's kind of like going to sound weird because we want everything to be in tune. Does that sound better? Okay, how many of you like the sound of this guitar better when all the strings are in tune, right? How many of you enjoyed it when it was, how many of you are just crazy and like chaos and all that? It almost kind of grates on your ears when you hear, you know, bad, right? But here's the deal. That you can listen to, right? So, thank you, Travis, for helping out with that. We've got a tuned-up guitar, and so we are ready to go. I will not be playing later in the set. We're going to leave that to the pros, Brandon and them. But here's the deal. It sounds so much better when it's in tune, right? It sounds so much better when everything is in tune, the way it's supposed to sound. And so when I ask the question, is your life in tune with God? We're asking, is the way that you're thinking in tune with the way that God is thinking? Is the way that you treat others in tune with the way that God would have you treat others? Is the way that you're thinking about yourself, the way you're thinking about Him, is the way that you're acting, the choices you're making, what you meditate on, what you invest in, where you, you know, just whatever it is, fill in the blank, whatever you do in all things, like, is what you're doing in your life in tune with the heart of God? Because that's what we want to do, right? As followers of Jesus, We want to bring honorable worship to the one who is worthy of our praise. Not just when we sing, but in our whole lives. And so we've been in this teaching series, One Roar, and the whole idea is if we want to build a life of worship, we're going to need the right tools, right? If we want to build a life of praise, we want to have the right tools for praise. And that's just the way it is with anything you're going to build, right? You want to have the right tools. So we've been pulling out these tools, and we've got our toolbox here. And today, we're going to talk about some music. We're going to talk about the word zamar. We've been looking at seven Hebrew words from the scriptures. And it's really cool because the scriptures are kind of like that tuner, right? They tell you exactly what's really going on. That's the true north, right? And you kind of can calibrate and tune your life to God's word. And that's what we're going to do this morning as we look at the word zamar. It's one of the Hebrew words in the Old Testament that's often translated praise. And so we're going to look at that as we've looked at these other words. And zamar, as you'll see, it means to praise, but it's often translated that, but it actually means to make music. It means to play a musical instrument or to sing or to praise. But it comes from a word that actually means to pluck in the prune, which we'll talk more about that, but it kind of makes sense, right? You pluck, you play the guitar strings, right? You pluck. And so it's like playing a stringed instrument, and it's about making music for God. But it's so much more than just music, right? Music itself is an incredible gift from God. And the fact that we can use music like we just did this morning and sing these songs and praise him and express our heart's desire to him, not only expressing what we are thinking and feeling and what we're doing in our lives as we bring glory to him, but even sometimes these songs, I'm saying things like, God, I give you my whole heart, but I'm like thinking back on my last week and I'm like, I really probably didn't do that. But you know what? I am declaring that that's what I want, God. Now help me with that. Through your spirit, we praise him, we elevate him, we give him honor that he deserves for all that he's done, but we also call out and ask for him to lead us deeper in relationship with him, to tune our hearts to his heart. And music is such a cool tool for that, right? It's such a great tool. If you've ever been on a job site and you're doing a whole bunch of work and you have a speaker like this, you've kind of got some music in the background, whatever kind of music it is, you know, it's just encouraging, uplift. It kind of helps you get through the day, kind of helps you get through the work, kind of keeps you motivated and moving. And in the same way, God has gifted us in life to celebrate him through music, but to use music as a way to keep us moving towards his heart. And Martin Luther said this, he said, next to the word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. Beautiful music is the art of the prophets that can calm the agitations of the soul, and it is one of the most magnificent and delightful presents God has given us. Man, Martin Luther's right, right? It's such a gift, right? Whether you play music, you know, on an instrument, or you just play it on the radio or your phone or whatever it might be, it is a gift from God. And I love how it says it can calm the agitations of the soul. And it's a present that God has given us to help us be present with him and to bring him glory. And so we're going to look at a few places where we see that word zamar in scripture referring to praise and musical praise. And so I'm going to read all of Psalm 144 that King David wrote. Now he was a musician himself, right? And so he would play and sing, and he wrote a lot of the Psalms. And so he wrote this song in Psalm 144. I'm going to read the whole thing, and then I'll point out to you where we find that word zamar, to play a musical instrument. It says this, verse 1 of Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war. Remember, he's a king, and he's going to battle all this stuff, okay? So he trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. Oh, Lord, what is man that you regard him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Flash forth the lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and rout them. Verse 7, stretch out your hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me from many waters, from the hand of foreigners whose mouth speak lies and whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood. He had a lot of people coming after him in this season of life, right? A lot of people trying to take him out, and he's trying to be faithful to God. And so he calls out to God for help. And in the midst of his struggle, he says this, verse 9, I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon a 10-string harp I will play to you. Zamar. I will zamar to you, God. I will use this musical gift you've given to bring praise to you, to return that gift back to you in praise. He says, I will play to you, verse 10, who gives victory to kings, who rescues David his servant from the cruel sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners whose mouth speak lies and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. And then he sings this prayer that the next generation would be able to come up and learn how to praise God and to worship him. He says, may our sons and their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. May our granaries be full, providing all kinds of produce. May our sheep bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields. May our cattle be heavy with young, suffering no mishap or failure in bearing. May there be no cry of distress in our streets. Wow, what a prayer. And he says this, blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. That's a pretty cool song, right? I wish we could hear it in the original Hebrew. I don't know what the tune was to it, but David wrote that song, and it was lyrics to a song with a melody and music, and he played on it. This harp, so to speak, has 6 strings, okay? There's different strings on, different number of strings on different instruments. David had a 10-string. Six is plenty for me. It's almost more for me to figure. He obviously was pretty good. He can play a 10-stringed instrument, but he would use that to praise God. And so that's an example there in verse 9. It says, I will play to you that music. I will zamar to you. A couple other places we find zamar in the scriptures. It's really all over the place, especially in the Psalms, but here's a few examples. Psalm 33:2 says, give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody, that's zamar, to him with the harp of 10 strings. Psalm 101:1, I will sing of steadfast love and justice to you, O Lord. I will make music. I will make music. Zamar. Psalm 57:9, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. And so there's zamar. It's like singing and playing music, right? Just like we did this morning, just like we do every time we gather to worship him. One of the things I love about God's word, and one of the things I really like about this teaching series, is that we're getting into some ancient biblical Hebrew language, right? These words have so much depth of meaning. It's kind of mind-blowing. Right? This word zamar doesn't just mean to make music or to play music. It does mean that. You can be singing, you can be playing, you can be making music, right? Writing music. But the word itself, zamar, comes from the root word that means to pluck or to prune. Interesting, right? Now it makes sense. We talk about plucking a guitar string. And if any of you are musicians, you know that you look at the 12-note chromatic scale and you pick out just the right notes for whatever key you're in, and that's how you get beautiful melodies, right? You prune away the other stuff and you just choose these, unless you're a jazz player and then you're just crazy and you do it all, right? But here's the deal. You pluck and you prune in order to make a great melody. And in the same way, we pluck and prune certain things in our lives in order to live a life of praise to God. And so let's dig into that a little bit, because I think this idea of plucking and pruning can really add some richness to this tool that we have of music. When you use the word zamar in the context to pick out something, think of plucking something. If you've ever gone out and like picked wild berries or cherries or apples or something like that, right? And you go out and you harvest the good stuff, right? What do? You go out and you know what to look for, right? You don't want the little green ones that are gonna be like sour, whatever. You don't want the big ones that have fallen off and kind of get in rotten or whatever. You carefully pick around the thorns to grab out just the perfect ones, and then you like put them in your bucket. If you're like me, you put one in the bucket, one in your mouth. One in the bucket, one in your mouth. One from your kid's bucket, in your mouth. One way, you know, you're just kind of eating the whole time while you go, right? Because it's so good. There's nothing good than like that fruit of the vine that's just like perfect, right off the plant, right off the vine. And so you're plucking out the good stuff and holding on to that and trying to bring that into you, right? And then you share it with others. This idea of plucking out the good stuff is zamar. You zamar that. Let's apply that to our lives. There is stuff in our lives that's absolutely in tune with the heart of God. And what we want to do is identify those things and pluck them out and grab a hold of those things and not let go and choose those things, to pluck those things out, right? Philippians 4:4-9, Paul is writing to the Christians in Philippi, just encouraging them and challenging them. And he's calling them to a life of praise because of what Jesus has done for us. And in verses 4-9 of Philippians chapter 4, it says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Let's pause there for a minute. I want to back up. Do not be anxious about anything. You ever been anxious about anything? That happens to me sometimes. And Paul says this: in everything, by prayer and supplication, which means like asking, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Let him know what you need. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But then he says this: finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. He says, dwell on these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So he says, whatever's honorable, pure, lovely, commendable, whatever's excellent, whatever's worthy of praise, zamar these things. Pluck those things out of life and hold on to those things. Practice those things, and the peace of God will be with you. You know, the peace of God is with us in those moments because we were created to bring him worship and praise and honor. And so when we zamar out the good stuff in life that is in tune with the heart of God, we're living out our very purpose. And even though our circumstances might be tough, we have a peace because we know we're doing what we were created to do, to live in relationship with him, in tune with him, and in solid relationship with others, and in tune with them, and helping point one another to Christ. And so we pluck out, we zamar those good things in life, as Paul says. And so let me ask you and encourage you, like, think of something lately that you have done or that you felt led to do and you just kind of like went with it. And maybe it was a word of kindness, maybe it was a generosity. You know, it could be anything, you know, that was positive. I want you to pluck that out and hold on to that and realize, like, God is honored and glorified in that. And praise and worship is not just what we do when we're here singing, but it's, you know, it's everything, right? It's how we interact with people, you know, when you pick up a little slack for somebody at work because they're struggling or sick or whatever. It might be when you're cutting your spouse or your kids a little slack. Maybe you're cutting yourself a little slack. Just, you know, giving some grace because it's hard, right? You know, life can be challenging. And so we give a little bit of grace and kindness and generosity and all of these things that we see Jesus extending to us and to others. And we zamar those things and it brings God praise. So think on those things and be encouraged. And as Paul says, you know, pursue those things, practice those things. Let's zamar those things so that we can live and build a life of praise. Zamar also means to prune, okay? So when you pluck, you're like plucking out the thing that you want to keep and use. But then when you prune, you're pruning away the things that are not good, right? That are dead ends, right? You prune out the things that are not producing life and you discard them. You get rid of those, right? So it's this plucking and this pruning, right? So in the same thing when you're playing guitar, there's some notes you want to hit, and then like I promise when I play, I sometimes pluck out the wrong ones. And so it's like, no, you gotta prune those out. You gotta pick those out. There's the right notes to play, there's the wrong notes to play, right? There's in tune notes, there's out of tune notes. And same thing is true in our lives, you know, when you're picking something out, you're picking out the good stuff, but you wanna prune away and pluck out the bad stuff, right? Because living a life of worship is more than simply adding praise to your life. It also means eliminating from your life the things that are not praiseworthy, the things that don't bring glory to God, the things that don't lead to human flourishing, the things that don't lead to healthy relationship with God and with others, the things that we kind of all know we shouldn't be doing, but sometimes are hard not to do, right? We understand we're supposed to prune those things out of our life. And Jesus does this through his Spirit. He does this for us and in us. It's not always fun, but he does this. John 15, 1 through 2, Jesus says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But every branch," he says, "and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it might bear more fruit," right? It's not always easy to do the pruning, and it's not always easy to have God prune in your life, to start cutting things away that need to be cut away because they're not producing life. But God does it because he loves us, right? And it's part of the way that he calls us to a life of praise. I'm gonna read a few more passages from the letters to the church in the New Testament. The first one is in Ephesians chapter 5. And so hang with me as I read through this, because what I want you to see is that there is a call to praise at the end of this passage, right? It's a call to zamar, to pluck out the good things. And it even says, make music and sing and praise God with that. But it's preceded by some pruning, some things that we need to get rid of so that we can more fully be present with God and more fully be in tune with him so that we can build a life of praise. Paul says this, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Okay, so he says, in light of everything God's done for us, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness or like greed, right? Or wanting what, all the stuff, right? "That must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints." That's us as followers of Jesus. Verse 4, "Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead, expose them. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil." The days are evil, right? "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't get drunk with wine. That's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit," right? You hear all the pruning? It's not just a list of don'ts, right? It's let's get rid of all that stuff that doesn't lead to a life of praise. And then as we eliminate those things, as we prune those things from our life, as we zamar those things out of our life, what do? We're filled with the Spirit, verse 19, "addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, and giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." I'll read another similar passage, which is really encouraging and basically says the same thing. Let's pluck things out of our, or let's pluck the good things out. Let's prune away the bad things, and let's live a life of praise and sing to him and make music to him. In Colossians 3, verses 1, it begins here. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appear, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, zamar, prune away what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked," that was the before, "but now the after. You were living in them," but verse 8, "now you must put them all away, zamar them out, cut them out, prune them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator." So there's a lot of pruning there, but now let's look at the things that we want to zamar, to pluck out and to put into our lives. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. There's that musical illustration, right? When everything's in tune with the heart of God and we're in tune with one another, perfect harmony. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called to one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we zamar out the good stuff. We zamar out the bad stuff. We prune it and we get rid of it. And then we live this life of praise. And all those passages mention having a peace that comes with that. But here's the tension. I've not said anything yet that you don't already know. That there's some things that if you want to live a life that's praiseworthy, that you're going to have to, there's some things you're going to have to adopt as habits and practices and to become a part of who you are, right? And there's going to be some things you got to let go. And then we go, oh man, that's right, great reminder. Easier said than done. Because sometimes our circumstances make it really difficult to live that out, right? And probably not the only one, right? But sometimes it's just the circumstances we find ourselves in make it hard to celebrate and live a life praiseworthy to God. Here's the deal. God knows that we are imperfect. He knows that we live in that tension. And just like these guitar strings, being in tune is about having the right amount of tension, right? If you have no tension, it just kind of flops around. It doesn't even really produce much of a sound. It's not really good for anything. But if you have too much tension, it's going to snap, right? Some of us have kind of given up. Because of our circumstances, we've kind of given up on this idea of really like living a life that is just on fire, praising God, right? So we kind of just coast. Some of us, therefore, need to kind of increase the tension a little bit, maybe work a little harder at finding those things that we need to practice more often and being more attentive to the things that we need to let go of. Others have the tension cranked really high, right? You really want to live a life that's praiseworthy to God, but you're not giving yourself a whole lot of grace, and maybe you're not giving those around you a whole lot of grace, and so you're kind of high-strung, right? You'll snap if you're not careful. My encouragement to you, if you kind of feel that, is just to kind of breathe deep and trust that this is his work in you, okay? Relieve a little of that tension. Kind of get back in tune with him, okay? I don't know where you're at on one side or the other, but together we can help each other find just that right tension. And it isn't easy, but it does come with a peace, right? And there's a peace that we're going to celebrate no matter what happens. We're not going to let difficult circumstances, whether those circumstances are just the circumstances of life in this world, or maybe somebody else's choices that have affected us negatively, or my own choices that are affecting me negatively. It is what it is. I've got a choice. Am I going to celebrate and worship God? Am I going to bring him praise with my life? We were at a baby shower last night for some of our good friends, and they're getting ready to welcome their first child. And so we had a whole bunch of friends there celebrating, and our friends who hosted just did awesome. We had a big taco feast, of course. And there was this like big balloon arch there, and we walk in, and their three-year-old, he's almost four, but he's still just three. We walk in, and he's super excited about the balloons. And the first thing he says is like, hey, and even if they all pop, we're still going to party. And we're like, dude, this is going to be a lit party, right? Is that what they said? So what's funny is that they were all like, some of them were popping throughout the night. And you could tell when one popped, it would visibly scare him. And he would just be kind of startled by it. And then he'd run around to everybody and tell them, hey, it's okay that popped. Even if they all pop, we're still gonna party. He didn't like the popping balloons. You could tell it really bugged him, it scared him. But instead of running and hiding or saying party's over, he says, hold on, we are here to celebrate together. What a leader, right? At 3 years old, this guy's like, we are here to celebrate, to party. And even if all the balloons pop, we're still gonna party. And I was like, dude, thank you, bro. I needed to hear that, because when life is tough, we're still going to party. We're still going to celebrate God. We're still going to praise him. We're still going to zamar, to sing, to make music, to make melody. And so I want to encourage you, as we come back to that question, is your life in tune with God? He created you to feel the joy and the peace that comes with living in harmony with him and with others. And he's given it to us to tune our hearts to him. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us freedom from sin and death through his son. We can't do it on our own. There's absolutely no way we can do it on our own. But he is calling us to tune our lives to him, to zamar, to practice. And so I want to encourage you to use music in your life as a reminder, whether it's a boombox like this. When I was a child of the 80s, we had like the big boomboxes, right? We're like coming out and saying like, you know, the bigger, the louder, the better. But the idea was that music was always making everything better. It was always, you know, it's a gift. It's a gift from God, right? Like Luther said, it's a gift from God. And we want to encourage you that as we continue to sing this morning, as we continue to live our lives out this week, that our lives can be a life of praise. We can bring honorable worship to the one who is worthy of our praise. As we zamar out the good stuff, as we zamar away the bad stuff, and we let him transform us and make us new, our lives will bring praise and honor to him, Father, Son, and Spirit. So let's stand and zamar this morning.